bless you in the name of Jesus Christ and welcome to Thursday's Fellowship. It's the 13th of October 2016 and Monday I taught on compassion, and God certainly has given me many opportunities to show forth more compassion, and as he's worked it in my heart and as he's opened the doors, and I think a lot of things have happened for all of us since Monday. One thing I've really learned and recognised is that when God is on the move, we need to move with him. It's not that we move and then God follows us. It's when God moves, we follow him. And we do the things that he puts in our hearts. We go through the doors that he opens us. And we find that when we do that, then we're like on a roller coaster of wonderful, great things. And that can be all the time if our minds are set on things above, not on things of the earth. And, you know, when we get all these distractions coming, life and living, we got to live this life, right? So we're going to have distractions come up. There'll be things that will come up, but we can still keep focus in the midst of those distractions, and we see that evidently in the life of Jesus Christ. He kept his focus on God even when he was in emotional turmoil, even when John, his cousin, John the Baptist, had his head chopped off. He still continued to minister and do what God put in his heart. And because he was on a roll, he was on a call, God needed him to keep moving. He needed that obedience, he needed that submission. And we can submit our lives to God to do what he wants us to do, and we can train and practice ourselves to keep God first in our life, and regardless of the challenges that come up. And sometimes, like we've been chatting in the fellowship this evening, that, you know, sometimes we do go off and we get on the wrong path, but God says, and he made a promise in Isaiah that, you know, your hearer were behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when we go to the left or to the right. So as long as our hearts is fixed to do what God wants us to do, regardless of any challenges that come up, God can still continue to bless us and open doors for us. So when you know that God's moving, keep moving. Just move with God. Just do what he puts in your heart and go through the doors he's open. So on Tuesday, I went up to London. I met a believer coming from Norway to Gatwick. And I was up about 5 o'clock in the morning because I had to get the off-peak trains. And I couldn't get the train back until 5:03. So I had a whole day up in London. So the night before, I messaged my brother who lives in London and said, could I come and visit him? And I said, why don't you do a curry at the same time? So I went up, I had a lovely day with my brother. And I'm going to tell you a quick story now, was that in the area that we grew up in is a place called New Addington. It's a really rough area in Surrey. And I was born in Croydon, which is just down the road from there. And I was brought up as a young child in New Addington before my mum moved to further places. Well, all my brothers from my dad's side live in this estate. It's a massive, massive estate, and there's one way in, one way out. And I still got brothers and sisters that live there. My dad lived there. And my aunties and uncles, my mum's brothers and sisters, also live on this big estate. Well, when my mum was alive and my nan was alive, my nan lived in Addiscombe, which is about a mile from Croydon, and we used to have to go and visit her. And then when she got elderly, the brothers and sisters, my aunties and uncles, wanted to put my nan into a home, and my mum wasn't having none of it. So she brought my nan to Bristol, and for the last few years of her life, my mum nursed her and gave her the best that she could have, and she really worked hard. Then my nan fell asleep. My aunties and my uncles were so out of communication with my mum and my nan because of my mum moving her to Bristol, they all wanted to go in a home where they can go and conveniently visit her. And but my nan was happy to come to Bristol. When she fell asleep, none of them come to the funeral, none of them sent flowers or nothing. And so this argument continued even after my nan died. And so they all stopped speaking to my mum, which was, you know, really, from my part, not fair. And anyway, so when my mum died, we got in contact with them to let them know. None of them sent flowers or come to the funeral. It's really sad. And the sad thing about it is that my aunties and uncles are good people, but they're very stubborn, and they can be very hard people if you get on the wrong side of them, and unforgiving. And so since my mum died, which has been 5 years now, I've had a longing to see them. Because when my dad died, the doors kind of shut up with my brothers and sisters on my dad's side. And then when my mum fell out with my aunties and uncles, the doors shut with them. So to go to this place where I was brought up in New Addington, I had no one to go and see apart from one brother that was okay with me. And I've never done anything wrong to any of them. So it's really, really a family thing. We all have these things that go on. I haven't heard from them since my mum died, and so like I was really sad about it, and I've really been praying to God through these 5 years about, you know, a reconciliation with them. And it was just a really hard thing. Even my sister Rebecca found it hard. My other two brothers are pretty sad about the whole situation. It's like, we haven't done nothing wrong. It was an argument between the sisters, nothing to do with the children. And we didn't really take the sides in the matter, even though our heart went out to our mum, because she really did serve, took great care of my nan. And she sacrificed her own kind of freedom for that. And then a couple of years later, she died. So even the believers know that here, how she looked after my nan so lovingly and took great care of her. So anyway, I go up to London, I see my brother, and before I actually went up to London, I spoke to my other brother and asked her where my auntie lived, because she had moved house, and all he knew was the name of the road. And so when I went up to visit my brother in London, I said, "Do you know where Dot lives?" That's my auntie Dot. He goes, "Oh, I think she lives around so-and-so." I said, "Is it Merriway?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I know that where that is. I could take you there." I said, "Well, I don't know whether I should go and see her or not." But God kind of instructed me to go. It was just such an urge rose up in me that I had to go. And I also found out that my cousin, my auntie's daughter, lived next door to her. So I just went, and the first door I knocked on of this house, there was no one in. So I went to the next door and knocked on it, and it happened to be my cousin. And she said, if you go round the back, she thought I was one of her husband's friend. And I said, I don't really need to go round the back. She goes, "Can I help you? You're looking for someone?" Then when I took my hat off, she went, "Oh, Lawrence." She was shocked. She was like flabbergasted and didn't know what to say. And I said, "I've come to see me auntie Dot." And I said, "Obviously to see you as well." I said, "But I really want to see my auntie Dot." And she said, "Well, my mum's she's gone a little bit more, you know, tougher in her attitudes and all that." I said, "Well, I'm expecting maybe she might tell me to go away. I'm not too sure." And she goes, "Well, let me just go back through the garden. I'll see if she's in." So she went and she come back. She said, "My mum's gone out with Lisa. That's my other cousin. But my dad's in." And then we started to speak. And I said, "Well, look, if I give you my telephone number, if she wants to speak to me, just give her the number and then I can take it from there." And I said, "And obviously, I don't want to put no pressure on you at all." I said, "But just tell my auntie Dot I love her and I really want to see her." All right. So anyway, before that happened, she said, "Well, come through and see my grandson." So I went through, saw her grandson, and he looked like my cousin when we were younger. It was really mad. And then I said, "Oh, is Uncle John there?" That's my auntie Dot's husband. And so she said, "Yeah, go through the garden. He's there." So I went through, and he was really fine with me, and he shook my hand. And in fact, actually, he got so old, where I haven't seen him for ages, he looked more like my granddad than my uncle. And so I spoke with him, and he shook my hand, and I said, "I'd really like to see Auntie Dot," which is his wife. And he said, "I'm sure it'll be all right." He said, "But obviously, she's gone out of Lisa." And so I said, "Well, I've left the number, Uncle John. If she wants to speak to me, just tell her I love her and I really miss her. And I'm thankful for all the things she'd done when I was younger." So off I went, and on the train on the way back home, I get a phone call, and it was my Auntie Dot. Yeah, and she was crying. Yeah, so she was crying, and she said, I was so happy that you wanted to see me." She goes, "I didn't think any of you kids wanted anything to do with me." And I said, "Well, I didn't think you wanted anything to do with us, and we hadn't done nothing, and we really didn't want to get involved in your argument with Mum." And she said, "Well, you know, not only did I lose my mum, but I did lose my sister, and I love Mary, which is my mum." And she said, "And you're welcome anytime. I'm just so gutted," she said, "that I was out." She said, "So the next time you're back, just come round. You're just welcome to come round. The door's open to you." And then we had a little chat, and then I rung my sister Becky, and she started crying. So God, he just really opened the door. But I was moved with compassion for her, because I really wanted to see her regardless of her reaction, so I had to have boldness. But when God said to my heart, "Go," then I knew to go. I still didn't know what to expect, because they are a pretty tough family, and they could have told me, they could have been really horrible to me, but they wasn't. And so God is a God of reconciliation, and it reminds me of Joseph. And with his brothers, when his brothers beat him up and they threw him in the ditch and left him for dead. And then obviously we know the story. He becomes the second in command next to Pharaoh. There was the distribution of food, and then Joseph's family come. Joseph looked after them. And that's how I feel towards my aunties and my uncles, to bless them. But I've seen great needs, because my cousin, she had a stroke many years ago and she can't use her arm. Well, my brother who took me round, he had a car accident and had loads of nerve damage and couldn't move his arm or his hand. And I ministered to him with Danny about 6 or 7 years ago, and he's got the full use of his arm, and he still gives credit to God. Because I said to him, if you can continue to command every day you're healed, I said, your hand will restore. So it wasn't immediate healing, but it was a progressive healing. So God really is a God of reconciliation, and when we're willing to do what he says, when he says, then great things can happen. People can be reconciled. God's love and power can go to work. God's light dispels the darkness in these situations. So when we trust God, and sometimes we might have to wait 5 years. That was 5 years since I last spoke to my auntie, thinking there was no possibility of a reconciliation. But through the prayers and through the desire, God is able to change hearts within that time. And so I'm really excited. So I am going to go up there, and I make proper arrangements, and I go up there with my sister, and we go to bless. We go to look for the needs and to minister to the needs as God allows us to do it. And I'm really praying for them, because, I mean, they're getting old now. My auntie must be in her 70s. And then there's my cousin. She's in her, like, 54, 55, and she's got great needs. They've got great needs. And that's what I seen was the need. When I seen my uncle, John, and he's looking like a really old man. Before I seen him, he was a milkman, very fit. All his life he was a milkman. And all of a sudden he's old and he's got crippled hands and stuff like this. My heart just really went out, and I'm thinking, these guys don't know God. And they don't, I know they don't. These guys need to hear the truth. And I will speak the truth, you know, and I won't do it straight away, but I'll do it as God opens the doors for me to do it. And so our God is a mighty God, and when we move with God, we can move with great faith. Our God is the greatest of the heaven and the earth, okay? He's an everlasting God, and he's not weary. Okay, we may get weary at times, but he's not weary. And he's always there for us. As long as we keep connecting with him, he can go to work, he can open these doors, and he can do it in a moment of time. And as we believe his word to us, we can evidence his mighty power in us and in our lives. And like in the Old Testament, God today still manifests his power through those that believe him. And that's why we're called believers, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to believe his word to us. That's why he's given us the scriptures, so we can see his heart, so we can see how he interacted with his people, so we can see and know his promises to us. Without having those scriptures, how do we know the promises to us? How do we know how God does things? And so I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. So in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read in verse 18 and 19. And this was a prayer of Paul for the church, for those that were born again. It was addressed to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's who the book of Ephesians is addressed to. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." This was Paul's prayer. "That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what believe, according to the working of his mighty power." This is what is available to every born again believer, every born again child of God who believe. And God wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him on the right hand side of God. God is the same yesterday, today and forever, and we can see his power in our lives when we believe it. It's our faith on God, our trust and confidence in him to perform on our behalf. And we've got to remember that God's ability equals his willingness. And God wants to work in your life powerfully. He wants to work in you to touch the world, to touch the world around you. God is everywhere present, but we're only in one place at one time. And each of us can have an amazing effect on the life of other people if only we recognize the importance of being humble to God and doing what he says, that there is an importance, that people are dying out there. And without a knowledge of this word, they will perish. And God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want any to perish. And we've got the words of reconciliation. And God is also energizing words in us in those situations to be reconciled to these people. And if I didn't make that move, they wouldn't have made that move. My brothers and sisters wouldn't have made that move. But it was in my heart to make the move. I just didn't know if I should do, or I didn't know when to. But when I went to see my brother Dave, who lived just round the corner from these guys, he said, I'll take you there. And then I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I just carried on talking about something else. And then it just come to my heart, a great excitement and energy come rushing to my heart. And I knew to go. It was like God says, go. And so I just moved with that. And even though I was apprehensive within it, I didn't know, because I know that they can be very nasty people, right? They wanted to be. I'm not overestimating what I'm saying. And I just took that boldness. But see, light dispels darkness. Okay, faith overcomes fear. And when God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and when we respond to his promptings and his direction, then we're going to see great deliverances. We're going to see things that we never thought were possible. We're going to see relationships restored that we never thought could be restored. And then we can see God go to work in the life of other people, bringing them deliverance, the same deliverance that we receive. And that's what it's all about. It's about reaching out with the love of God in Christ in us. And if we're really in the fellowship with the Father, then that will be our desire. That will be God. Our desire will be God's desire, is to see all men saved and come to knowledge true. That compassion will be so much in your heart and energized. That love of God will be overflowing and spilling out. See, the love of God is an overflowing love. It's not a love that you keep to yourself, but it's a love that you give out. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave. See, it's a giving. It's a giving of oneself. Compassion is an action also. It's a giving of oneself. It's being moved to alleviate the needs of others. And we're looking at believing tonight. That we got this great power, we got the faith of Jesus Christ, we can truly believe God and see great things. If you think of the Old Testament believers, they didn't have the same type of faith we got, and yet they were able to do amazing things. Moses parted the Red Sea for them. They followed what God told them to do. And when we follow what God shows us to do, not just in his written word, but when he's working with us in life situations, then we're going to see great things happen. And my faith is so sky high, and I'm just so very blessed, and God is moving now, so we move with God. There's times when there's quiet periods, when he leads us beside those still waters, where he restores our soul, where he guides our path in righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, and when it's time for action, we need to be ready to move. If an army isn't ready for action when they're called upon, then they're going to be defeated even before they move. So we've got to be ready to move. Okay, and we keep ourselves active with God by speaking in tongues, by prayer, by reading of the scriptures, by sharing of our lives, by fellowshipping, doing those fundamental things that we do naturally, not because we got to do them, but or it's a key or it's a step, but because it's naturally within our hearts that we so desire to live for God. So I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to look at Old Testament records where people believe God. And they didn't let their circumstances stop them from moving. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to read from verse 32 to verse 37. And it's the record and the account of David going against Goliath. You know, sometimes we might have Goliaths in our lives. Goliath was a giant, and David was just a little child in front of this Goliath. But with God, all things are possible. So let's read the record. So verse 32, and it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't let your hearts fail. The children of Israel, they were scared because of this Philistine. This Philistine was a giant compared to them. And David said, don't let anyone's heart fail because of him. Don't let anything stop you believing God. Thy servant will go and will fight with this Philistine. He wasn't afraid. So he was able to face his giants. When you're afraid, you're not able to face your giants. When anyone is afraid, they won't face their giants or their problem that is in front of them. But when we have faith in God and his ability to do, then we'll overcome any situation. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But listen to the response of David. And David said unto Saul, thy servant keepeth his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew it. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David knew his God was with him. David has had experience, right? He had work experience, and he knew that God was with him, no matter the giant or the problem in front of him. All right, so he knew that his God was able to do. His confidence wasn't in his own ability. His confidence wasn't even in slaying of the bear and the lion. But his confidence was in God. And that's where our confidence has got to be. And when we got our confidence and our faith in God, then there's nothing that will stop you from doing what God's called you to do. The only thing that stops you is unbelief. The only thing that stops you is your circumstances, your fear, and looking at them and placing them as the giant before you. But God is bigger than all things. And when we recognize that and when we keep that in our hearts, then we can face anything and we can overcome anything. Verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me." See, he recognized God as the deliverer. "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear." See, David wasn't placing confidence in his own ability, but in the ability of God. And we know that God's ability equals his willingness. And David knew that. And we know that, so we can achieve great things with and for God. "He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And we jump down to verse 48. And it says, "And it came to pass, while the Philistine arose and came, and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened." He didn't start to get hesitant, but he hastened. He kept moving, and he increased his movement. "He hastened and ran to the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David." So this Philistine, not only was he a giant, but he had his sword. David didn't have no sword. But he used the tools that God gave him. We need to use the tools that God gave us. What is the tools that God has given us? He's given us his scripture. He's given us Holy Spirit. He's given us the body of Christ. We can be victorious if we use the things that God has given to us. And God gave David a sling and a stone. A slingshot and a stone. Right, God has given us Holy Spirit. He's given us the scriptures. He's given us the body of Christ. And we can be strong if we use the things that God has given to us, and we're obedient, and that we trust God above our circumstances, we trust God above the problems, that we trust in God's ability and not our own ability. Verse 51, "Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shamarim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent." What Goliath have you faced, or are you facing? See, we need to know what is available. We need to know how to receive it. And then we need to believe and act upon the promises of God to us, and to know who we are in Christ. And you ain't going to know that without a knowledge of the scripture. Okay, we need God's word. We need to go to those scriptures. We need to understand how God moves with his people. We can see it, how God worked in the lives of people at that time. So this word is very important for us to know. Now our faith is being built. This was in the Old Testament. Now we're going to see in the Gospels also, when someone believed and when someone didn't look at their circumstances or stopped looking at their circumstances and started to believe the words being spoken. So in Mark chapter 5, we're going to read verse 25. And it says in verse 25, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." So there was this lady, she had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So all her living, everything that she had, she spent trying to get better, but all she'd done was got worse. Today, many people spend thousands of pounds going to their doctors, their dentists, and all this, trying to get better. Some of them do, some of them don't. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. Verse 28 of Mark chapter 25, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt on her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that word virtue is dunamis, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, now seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him how she spent all her money trying to get better, but only grew worse. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. When you got faith, you'll move. You won't be stopped still. You'll go and get what you need to get. And when God's working in you, by his Spirit, is even bigger today. Okay? We can see great things happen. And we need to get our expectations up that God is a God of might and miracles. That he is at work this day. And his signs, miracles and wonders are his calling card to set people free. To make known his name. And we are the ones, we're the carriers of Holy Spirit. And we can bring this power through our faith. And we can minister deliverance and healing to people that need it. When people are serious, when they're searching, they're serious. When they got need, they're serious. They will listen. And God is the one that have put those people in front of us. And when those people are in front of us, God is the one that energized faith in us. God is the one that energized compassion in us. God is the one that will energize the love. We just do. We just move and we do what God shows us to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you'd like to go there. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 13 it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When we receive God's word and believe it in our hearts, it works effectually in our lives. God is responsible to fulfill the promises of his word, and our joy and privilege is to believe it. The woman with the issue of blood received her deliverance. When we can follow her example, saying and believing what God says and acting upon it, then we'll see great things happen too. It's a great example. It's there for our learning. Those things are recorded. So God wants us to see these things. He had it recorded so that we could see, that we could know, we can understand how the things work, how the things happen. God has certain things recorded for us. There's other things he could have put in there. In fact, didn't it say that there was so much done by Jesus that they couldn't write it all down? That the world can contain the books. But what is written is what God wants us to know. And what we have got, we should know. We should have a heart to find out. We should have a heart for the scriptures to find out what God is saying. So that we can know that we know that we know. And that when someone comes along with their doctrine, which is very close to the truth, but it's not truth, then we can pinpoint it. We can recognize it to be false. There's many deceivers in this world. There's many antichrists in this world. There's many people amongst our own selves coming to spy out our liberty. That's what Paul says, right? So we got to be sharp. And the Spirit of God makes us sharp. And when we got the scriptures, then we can be certain and know and not be deceived. God does not want you to be deceived, but he wants you to know that you've got Holy Spirit, that you've got power, that you can really move with him. And he wants you to know that he wants your affection set on him. He wants you to look to him in every situation. He wants you to know that he wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants you to know he doesn't want any to perish. He wants you to know what you've got on the inside of you, what he's placed in you. He wants you to know that you are now body, soul and spirit. He wants you to know that you are more than conquerors, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. God wants you informed. He doesn't want you to be ignorant. And that's why we got the scriptures, to help us keep us in the right location. Okay? He's given us the body of Christ, so when we get off, someone can tell us if we're not going to the scriptures, right? He's given us Holy Spirit so we can discern truth and error. Okay? So we need to know what God says to us. But getting back to the point of believing, I want to look at these records again, Old Testament records recorded down in Hebrews, and that we can learn great things from it. So Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd like to take your Bible there, please. Okay, and in first one it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attained a good report. Now faith is the substance. Okay, so when we're believing God for something, we believe that we already have it, even though it's not in front of us. And when we believe that we already have it, it becomes manifest. That's what faith is. We see it already done. Okay, David saw that Goliath wasn't going to win. He knew that Goliath was going to be in his hands. He knew he had the victory in his God. And that's why he had the faith and confidence to move with great boldness. And we can have the same too. We got the faith of Jesus Christ. We got Holy Spirit in us. And when our minds is lined up with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, nothing will stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Fear won't stop you. Unbelief won't stop you. Nothing will stop you. Okay, because you know that you know that you know, and you're knowing God's working in your heart. So, first two, for it by the elders attained a good report. First three, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made out of things which do appear. By faith, verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God has translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. What pleases God? Faith. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a two-part there. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness through what? Faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And we need to judge God faithful in every situation we find ourselves in, that God is the one that's going to deliver us, that God is the one that's going to show himself strong on our behalf, because we trust and we believe in him. First, therefore sprung there even of and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitudes, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. Okay, reminds me of first one. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. That's beautiful, isn't it? By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. See, fear stops you receiving. By faith, and Moses' parents didn't fear the king's command. They weren't afraid because they trusted their God bigger than what was in front of them. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. See, faith is what we got. We got the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay, and that's what God wants us to do, is trust him in everything. Trust him above whatever's going on, because he's the God of deliverance. He's the God of might and miracles. He's the healer. Verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Listen, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the fire, violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, who received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So God wants us to really be blessed. He wants us to really trust him. And like going back to Paul's prayer, we'll finish off again where I started. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Paul's prayer. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So God bless you.